Good morning.
Morning.
Or is it afternoon? Oh, still morning. All right, I better check that one. I know I'm from, it's funny to be introduced from Dewsbury with an accent like this, you know, but we're definitely not an hour ahead over there, anyway. Just trying to get my bits organized here. Yeah, so my name's Dominic Burns, as some of you would remember from the last time. I technically am still the director of Carr's Bible College Dewsbury until this Friday coming. I'm at the minute in the process of training up, me and my wife are training up the new directors of the college, Dieter and Anna Tham, who Johnny came over to meet during the week there. They're a German and Polish couple. They've been missionaries for 35 years, and they're replacing me and my wife. As we leave Dewsbury, Yorkshire, we've been promoted in one sense, but demoted in another sense, because we're leaving the promised land for the next place. You know, I don't know how, I never thought about that actually. So we're leaving the promised land to go on to new pastures, should we say that? I've got a promotion at work, and so we're moving down to Andrew Womack Ministries headquarters in Walsall, which is between Birmingham and Wolverhampton, if anybody knows that part of the world. So now, after 6 years, you can tell I've got a very strong West Yorkshire accent, and I'm not really sure that, I don't know if there are Brummies in Walsall, are they? I think they call them Yam Yams. I mean that respectfully. We were down looking at houses there, and we finally got a house to move into, and they were leaving messages on the voicemail. And this is kind of ironic coming from us. We appreciate. We couldn't understand what they were saying on the voicemail. Hello, how are you? And I know if anybody hears from the West Midlands, I apologise. You can make fun of me and my accent after, I don't mind. And we were laughing. We were going, you know, because many people know the Dewsbury accent can get a bit... the rule of R's, and the West Yorkshire accent can be strong. I know over here in Sowerby Bridge in Halifax, it's a bit more like the Queen's English, obviously. You know, but sometimes around these parts, it can be difficult to comprehend. But anyway, I'm kind of waffling. But so I've got a promotion. I'm going to be they call it the Managing Director of Andrew Womack Ministries Europe. So basically, in the UK, that means that... all of the Andrew Womack Ministries administrative functions and all the Bible colleges and the conferences and all that stuff. Basically, I'm in charge of the whole, as we say in Ireland, shebang at this stage. So I've got a big promotion there. It's not something I was looking for. I was talking to Ruth there. I didn't go looking for it. They came and asked me, but I knew at the time that it was the right thing to do, because I kind of knew this time last year, or last September, that my season in, here was coming to a close, but I didn't know what the next step was. But the Lord revealed it to me. So I'm off to West Midlands. So pleased to introduce Johnny to the new guys, because they'll continue to work with this church and Ian down in Honley for mission trips and prayer ministry. You know, like earlier this year, just before Ireland won the Triple Crown. And I did, yeah. The last time I was here, we were talking about the rugby, and it was in February, but I just, you know, it didn't happen that Ireland won the Grand Slam, the Triple Crown, and the Championship on St. Patrick's Day in Twickenham, beating England. Now, that it's very unusual that happens, but we'll consign that. This is probably not a good idea to welcome yourself in an English church by saying that. So, but Ephesians 4:32 says, forgive others as Christ has forgiven you. So I'll just put that one back to you and move on. Let's get back to Jesus then. So I'm pleased to be here today. I'm looking forward to the new season, but I'll be taking a good bit of Yorkshire in my heart. So thank you for allowing me to come and share today. Today I want to talk about, or this morning, compassion. You know, it's about compassion. We see in the scriptures quite a few times that Jesus was motivated in his ministry by compassion. And you can also see in many, many different types of circumstances in the gospel, it says that Jesus was moved with compassion or by compassion, depending on what translation you read. So what I want to do is talk about Jesus' motivation for ministry in one sense, which is compassion, and then kind of relate that to ourselves as well, you know, because really, as you know, children of God here, the righteousness of God in Christ, we heard some great truths coming through the song and the communion here this morning as well, or the songs. You know, surely if Jesus was moved with compassion, so should we. You know, if you think of like John 3:16, for example, it says, if you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, you know, that we should not perish, in paraphrasing, but have eternal life. You know, what we're seeing there is compassion, because we're seeing that the Father gave so that we would have eternal life. So the greatest action of love, you could say, or compassion, is giving, because the Father gave Jesus. And, you know, the greatest attitude of love or compassion, you could say, is forgiving, because Jesus was given by the Father to us as a propitiation, it says. So let's start there. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. And you'll see this in the scripture, and we'll make our way back to John 3:16. So 1 John, first letter of John, chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. It says here, Beloved, I'm reading from the King James. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he first loved us, or he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, or you could say a ransom, or some people like to use the word atonement, but really in the Old Testament, the atonement was a temporary covering, whereas propitiation in the New Testament is a once all, it's a final, complete act, complete ransom that covered everything. There was no need to go back, as we heard our brother talking about, you know, the veil being torn this morning. There's no need to go back and do it again and again and again. It's been done once for all in the New Covenant, the New Testament. So we see that Jesus was given to be the ransom, or the payment for our sins, that we may have eternal life. You know, so that's a good thing to start off with there. We see that, you know, let us love, for love is of God, and everyone that is born of God, that's us, and know God, that we should have love. I'm just going to take a drink here, excuse me. You know, so we head back to John now. The Gospel of John, chapter 5. You know, ministry in itself, it's basically the fruit of our relationship with the Father. You know, again, the words already today spoken, you know, and sang out, through the words and through the you know, the, I don't know what the right words, but the freestyle worship in the middle. You know, a lot of the truth coming out there was about our relationship with the Father and being children of God and knowing him, his love, and our position in Christ. But if we go to John chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, I'm just trying to set the stage here for compassion. It says, verse 19, Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, like these also does the Son likewise. For the Son loves, the Father loves the Son, and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Now that's King James, but basically what it's saying is that Jesus does what the Father shows him. So what we can say there is, you know, Jesus only did what the Father shared from him, you know, shared with him. If you read on between John 14, 15 and 16, that comes up. That theme comes up again. We know that Jesus spent a lot of time in prayer with the Father. You know, and somebody once said that, you know, as the deeper your relationship with the Father, then the wider or the broader your influence, your ministry, your fruit can be, because you've got deep roots, like it talks about in Psalm 1, you know, going into living, I like to think of living streams of living water, you know. And, you know, so the deeper you are in your relationship with God, you could say the more fruitful that you would be. So ministry really is, in other words, the outflow of our relationship with the Father. You know, and we remember John 3:16 that we mentioned at the beginning, for God so loved the world that he gave Jesus, you know, so that we would not perish but have eternal life. And we just remember that, you know, giving is the action of love, but, you know, forgiving is the attitude of love. And that's what we see demonstrated in Jesus, because we know that Jesus, it tells us in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, he's the image, or you could say the character or the essence, the exact likeness of the Father. So as Jesus is, so as the Father, and Jesus said that, you know, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we're trying to paint a picture that, you know, whatever Jesus' motivation is, the Father's motivation. So the Father gave his prize, his Son, as a price for us to be set free. So, you know, so we could be forgiven, but also that we could forgive. We know from Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it talks about that the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. So we have received that agape love of God. Those of us who are born again of the Spirit of God, we've received that same love, that same empowerment by the Spirit of grace and truth. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing when you think about it. You know, compassion, you could say, I was looking up, you know, definitions, and some of them are quite complicated. You know, they talk about, this one sounds a bit King James-ish, you know, it talks about, you know, a deep yearning from the bowels. And you, we know in Scripture that it refers to the bowels quite often, excuse me, which is really referring to our inner man, the hidden man of the heart or the spirit within us. But really, I would put it to you that compassion really is, you know, it's an ability to see somebody, something that needs help. It needs help, and a deep desire to do something about it. You know, it's not to be confused with sympathy or empathy. Sympathy can be, you know, well, you know, I feel sorry for that person. You know, empathy can be, you know, I understand what that person's going through, but both can sometimes carry, you know, a be warmed and filled mentality. You know, I'm busy and I've got, you know, I've got my son, I've got my daughter, I've got my job, and these things are valid as well. But sometimes compassion, you know, when you see a circumstance, there's a deep desire in your heart where you're almost compelled by the Spirit to do something about it. But it's a natural spiritual desire. It's like if you're walking down the street and, you know, you see a homeless person, you may have deep compassion on them. You may go to McDonald's, buy them something to eat. You might go to Kentucky Fried Chicken. You might bring them for something to eat. You might pray for them. You know, that's compassion. And we all have something in our heart that stirs us with compassion. But it comes in many shapes or forms. So what we want to do today is kind of look at some of the examples in the Scriptures of how Jesus was stirred with compassion and what the fruit of that compassion was, you know, what he ended up doing. And then if we bear that in mind ourselves, we will see that that characteristic, that fruit of the Spirit in Christ can be the same for us. Is that okay? Am I making sense? Yeah? Yeah, okay, right, fair enough. So if we turn to Luke chapter 4, verse 18, 19, this is what I talked on the last time. I'm just going to read it out just to remind ourselves. I really, so this is probably my favorite scripture. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You know the outflow of Jesus coming, of the Father giving Jesus to us and for us to experience and receive eternal life, was Jesus was anointed for his ministry, and his ministry contained all those elements. As Jesus, you know, went about doing good. It tells us next, chapter 10, verse 38, Peter's talking. You know, we read there from John 5 a minute ago, you know, that Jesus was doing what the Father was showing him to do. And other scriptures talk about Jesus saying what the Father told him to say, type of thing as well. So we understand that when Jesus was going about doing good and we're going to moving with or by compassion, we can see that we can do a similar thing. And indeed, we do those things ourselves, maybe in a different manner. But, you know, you could think of yourself like this. You know, when it says, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave Jesus, what's to stop you putting your name in there or my name? For God so loved Sorby Bridge that he gave Johnny. For God so loved Sorby Bridge that he gave Ruth. No, because you have, you know, I don't know everybody's name here, so I can't call everybody out. You appreciate what I'm saying there. You know, that compassion of the Father is that he has given people to the church, to the ministry. You know, there's people come in here, you know, in the morning and they set up the tea and coffee and to put out the tables and chairs. You know, and some people probably have a keen eye and they get everything nice and symmetrical. You know, and it's detailed, but that's because they're ambassadors for Christ. They want people to come into a nice environment. And if you think that's not scriptural, just go back to the Old Testament and look at the detail for the tabernacles and the temples, you know. So, you know, so anybody's cutting corners there, that may be a word for you. No, so those things are godly. They're good. And everybody has a different bent. Some people will, you know, minister through the sound desk. Others will do usher. Some people will minister in song. Some people will sing. Johnny mentioned there that maybe some people today, this afternoon, will go up to minister to Keith, is that right? Yeah, you know, so that's compassion. Even though there's challenge, there's still compassion. You know, there's a willingness to do something about it. So that's the kind of type of thing that we're talking about. So it manifests in different ways. So that's why the scripture tells us again in other places, don't compare ourselves amongst ourselves. So we can see from Jesus that compassion or the fruit of it in him was that ministry. And we're all, you know, anointed on to different things by the same Spirit of the Father. So it really is a demonstration of love and action. So if we turn to Matthew 9, verse 36, we're going to look at a couple of scriptures in Matthew, a few in Mark, and see how we get on there. Matthew 9, 36, and I'm just popping into these scriptures just to, I kind of want you to look at the word compassion, and maybe when you have more time, you know, if you go back and just kind of look at the circumstances around it, but really the theme is just look at Jesus' motivation, compassion, 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 but also that it comes out in different ways. There's some obvious ways and then some not so obvious, as we'll see. So Matthew 9 verse 36, and he sat down and called, I'm a Mark, that's why it's not going to work there. Matthew 9 36. Yeah, here we go. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they were fainted or were weary and were scattered about as sheep, having no shepherd. You know, so Jesus was moved with compassion because the people were lost. They were tired. But this is really saying they had no shepherd. They had no leaders. They had nobody to care for them. They had nobody to nurture them. They had nobody to bring them beside still waters. So he was moved with compassion. And you know what goes on to say then, you know, he talks to the disciples and tells them, you know, pray for the harvest, pray for laborers, that's us, to go into the harvest and minister to the sheep without shepherds and become shepherds ourselves. You know, and that can be a prayer group. It can be, you know, the day of the quietness. It can be, you know, a home group, whatever it may be. You know, there's different roles and different times where we're being moved by compassion to minister to the sheep. As such, so that's one example there. If we head on over to Matthew 14, verse 14. So it's really having a heart for the lost, people who need guidance and help. Maybe they're weary of life. We had a word this morning at the start, a few words about people being weary. We know life can tire us out along the way, but it's good to know that we can rest in him. Matthew 14, 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. This is after Jesus found out that John the Baptist had been got his head chopped off, basically killed, and then they were going to a quiet place. But he was moved with compassion because he saw a need, and he ministered to the sick. And then later on, we find out on that one there that, you know, he ministers to, you know, to multiplying the food, etc. as well. You know, so he met all their needs as well. So compassion reaches out and compels faith to act, you could say. Now, if we turn over there, Matthew 15, verse 32. I'll start into 31, or even verse 30. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. We had read earlier, he was moved by compassion to do these things. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. And then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, so he's instructing his disciples here, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting lest they grow faint or weary in the way. And then, you know, he goes on then to multiply the fishes and the loaves, and they all ate and were full, and there was more than enough left over to meet the need. But, you know, the Lord was showing the disciples that they can meet the needs of others supernaturally, but he was also showing them and telling them that he was moved by compassion, you know, because they were weary. So not only were they physically tired, but they needed food as well, but he was also ministering to their other needs as well. So Jesus was ministering to them, spirit, soul, and body, you could say, in one sense. You know, but again, there was a compassion, you know, for the hungry, you know, for the faint, for the weary. So Jesus moved by compassion, and we understand that the Father gave the Son. So the Father's moved by compassion to give Jesus, so his compassion would flow through Jesus, because we understood from John chapter 5 that Jesus is only doing and saying what the Father is showing him. Now, we don't know exactly how that worked out, you know, because we weren't there, but I believe that as we meditate in the Word, we pray in tongues, as we sing and worship the Lord can put things in your heart, and then you can go and do it, and then sometimes it just all works out wonderfully, and that's the Holy Spirit, you know, the Spirit showing you things to come. Now, you may not get sometimes you might get a vision or an image or a thought or a scripture, but a lot of times it can be the leading of the Lord, you know, in peace to do something. So those things are motivations for ministry, but it's all empowered by the compassion of the Father through the Son. You know, if we go over there to Matthew chapter 18, verse 27, and really this is just reminding us who we are and what we're doing. There's an objective here, and our compassion will create fruit, and it'll be the fruit of restoration, healing, deliverance. But really it's to bring others to Christ through that manifested agape love of God in us, demonstrated true compassion. You know, so Matthew 18, verse 27. And this one's kind of in the middle of the, you know, the parable of the talents here, where the guy, he didn't have enough money. I'm paraphrasing here. He didn't have enough money to pay off the debt. Yeah, the 10,000 talents. He didn't have money to pay off the debt, but the Lord forgave him. You know, the Lord had compassion on him, and that's a type and shadow of Jesus, and loosed him and forgave him the debt. You know, because Jesus paid a debt for us that we could never pay. This is, you know, what the Jews would call I can never pronounce this well, hyperbole. Johnny, is that right? Hyperbole. One of them words, it's like an exaggeration in a story to make a point, but really this guy could not pay us like £10 billion. Like, imagine you had £10 billion debt. Most of us, we're not in faith now. We're not to limit God, but if it was called in today, we'd probably be in a bit of a pickle. Would that be fair enough? Yeah, so you're tracking with me there. So, but really that's what the Lord, he was the propitiation, he was the payment, he had compassion. You know, the bill was paid, our bill was paid, but it's compassion from the Father for us, and which is why this guy was rejoicing. But then he went off later on, and that's another story. We won't go there. He lacked compassion later, but that wasn't good for him. But anyway, the point being, the Lord was moved with compassion to forgive. Do you remember we said at the start that the greatest action of love is giving, but you know, the attitude of that love is forgiving. So we're seeing these things flowing through compassion here. And of course, as I mentioned earlier in Ephesians 4, verse 32, you know, we forgive others as Christ has forgiven us. And that, sometimes that one there helps me to take the sting. If I'm having an issue with somebody, myself, because you know what, we all have this here. And you know what, we're going to have it till the Lord comes or till we go to him. And it's a constant. And sometimes it presents itself when you least expect it, you know, but if I ever have a situation where I'm given an opportunity to walk in the Spirit, let's put it like that, that scripture comes to mind. Forgive others as Christ has forgiven you. And when I think of what I've been forgiven of, I like the scripture that says, you know, he that has been forgiven much loves much. I understand what that means. I think he's heard some of my testimony the last time. So that puts me back in my box sometimes, but in a nice sense, you know, it helps me to practice what I'm preaching, literally. So anybody, you know, sometimes it's, some days it's not easy to practice what you preach, or is that just me, no? All right, okay, all right, I'm in the right place. And okay, let's move on. I was just wondering there. I can't see any halos yet, but the lights are bright, so there you go. So if we go on to Matthew 20, verse 34, again, we're just trying to see different examples of the compassion in them. Maybe the next time you see them, you might consider them and read around the area. So these two here, the two blind males, I'm going to start in verse 29. And as they departed from, so Matthew 20, verse 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, Lord, you son of David." Now that's actually interesting, because the son of David was a terminology that was reserved for the Messiah. So it's interesting, separate issue, how these two guys recognized, who were blind, that Jesus was the son of David. So this may have been what caught his attention. Can't prove that, but. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, What will you that I shall do unto you? They said unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. You know, so, you know, the Lord's compassion restored him. You know, they acknowledged him as Lord. They referred to him in a messianic term. Was that the demonstration of their faith in him? But the Lord stood still. They got his attention, so he stood still and asked them. And his compassion, it says, moved by compassion. Again, so sometimes compassion will stop us in our tracks and get us to do something. What is the need here? Where are we going? But he was on a journey. He was going somewhere else. Sometimes it will stop us. And other times in the scripture, we can see that Jesus was going to do things and he wouldn't be stopped. He kept on going because he had a greater task at hand. So please understand there's balance in everything that I'm saying. But compassion can change lives, and it, you know, it can then change nations as well. If we turn over to the start of Mark then, Mark chapter 1, verse 41. Just again, different examples. And we see here the leper at the beginning of Mark. Mark 1, verse 41. We'll start in verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, "If you will, or if you're willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I will, be you clean." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And Jesus straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away. "See, you say nothing to any man, but go the way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto him." So Jesus was submitting himself to the Old Testament law, but the priest would have realized that the leprosy could only be cleansed when there was forgiveness, and the only person he could forgive was the Lord. So there was a lot going on here. This leper being cleansed was speaking volumes of who Jesus was. But Jesus submitted to the law, told him, "Don't tell anybody, go and show it to the priests and pay your vows." You know, so he was fulfilling the law in what he did, but in doing that, it was also revealing who he was. But again, he was moved by compassion. And here, you know, in our society, you could say the lepers are you know, the outcasts. We've got people from different cultures live here now. We've got people who are in extreme forms of poverty. Drugs is a curse in different parts of the country at this stage, in England and Ireland as well. Alcohol is one that we all know, you know, and those things are causing people to be outcasts in society. I know when I was alcoholic and stuff and I got myself in a lot of trouble, I called in the name of Jesus and my deliverance and rehabilitation came, for which I'm eternally grateful, which is why I'm here today, because I knew it was Jesus. I was an outcast in one sense, but the Lord restored me. He restored me to myself, to my sound mind. He restored me to a sounder mind, really, because I became a believer. So I was fulfilled spirit, soul, and body again. I had, you know, disease in my body, which was like liver function problems, jaundice, all that type of stuff, due to the alcohol and stuff. That was all cleansed and gone. I had been psychotic and stuff. That was in the mind. That was all set free. And I've never drank since. And I've never wanted to. And I haven't got a problem if you want to sit there. Not right now, but, you know, have a beer or a glass of wine or stuff. It has no... I'm not concerned, I'm not bothered, I'm not foaming at the mouth, because total restoration, and I've been restored to my family. Yeah, and what we're saying and what you were saying as well, and, you know, and restored, and, you know, that's the compassion of the Lord. He was restoring the outcast, those who are afflicted in society by whatever it may be, back to an original position, or you could say back to as it was in the garden before the snake got in. You know, so this is the compassion of the Lord, and this is part of, that was Jesus' ministry, but we're the ministry of Jesus today because we are the body of Christ. So those of you who are doing those things, be aware that, you know, you're fulfilling the will of God through his body in that area today, because you're helping him reach those people through your words, through your hands, through your feet, through your food packages, through your time, through your money, whatever it may be. And, you know, it's good to be reminded that we are being moved with compassion as well. If we turn over to Mark chapter 5, verse 19, again, some of these are more dramatic than others, but we need to think about it in the culture we live in today, because the word of God is eternal. Verse 18, I'll start. And when he was coming to the ship, he had been possessed with the devil. I believe this is the Gadarene demoniac, if I remember rightly, it is. Prayed him or asked him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus didn't allow him, but said unto him, go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee, and had compassion on thee. Basically, this was a guy who had had the legion in him. It tells you in different gospels, he had the legion of demons in him that got out of him and were put into the swine, and the swine threw themselves off the cliff and stuff. And it does say in other commentaries that, yeah, and it goes on to say there, and this guy went back to Decapolis, which was a region, I think, on what we would call Jordan now, on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. There was Deca, was that 5 or 10 cities? I'm not sure. Deca is either 5 or 10, I can't remember. Is it 10? Yeah, decimal Deca, yeah. I have an uncle Deca, but, you know, it's not the same thing. So this compassion, not only did this man have deliverance from outstanding affliction, but it turned him into a minister of the gospel. You know, he became an evangelist, and he went back to where he came, and he went around telling people how the Lord had compassion, because that was the instruction. God has compassion for you. And he was a walking demonstration of the kingdom of God, because people would have known him and seen he's restored, he's whole. He's talking about this Jesus guy, and, you know, in other places we read about in the scriptures, people coming from all different areas to Jesus, so the word was getting out and about, and who knows what influence this guy had and bringing a message somewhere and somebody getting hope, because faith, you know, faith comes by hearing by the word, receiving that word of hope and taking it to this Jesus guy who's going to be in Capernaum, and off they go on a 3-day journey. They get there and they get hands laid on them, or they hear the word, they get healed. However it happens, and it's because the evangelist went and told him, because he had been touched by compassion. Everybody tracking with me, yeah? You can see. So it's all linked in, but it's the love of God in action, which is powerful, and it's flowing through us as well, because we have that agape love, that attitude of love, that action of love we call compassion. So Mark 6, verse 34, then goes on to say, I'll start, and you probably noticed I do this quite a bit. I'm just going to start one or two earlier. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, or they recognized him, and they ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and out went them and came together unto him. So basically they knew where they were going, and they caught him on the flip side. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion towards them, because, again, they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And this, so Jesus had compassion on people who were shepherdless. You know, you could say they were ignorant of truth. We're not calling them ignorant people. We're saying they were possibly ignorant of the truth because they hadn't heard it. So Jesus took time to teach them. So compassion sometimes will teach. Compassion will teach because, you know, we know from John 8:32 that it's the truth, you know, that will set you free. You know, so teaching, you know, the teaching here on the, during the week and today and at night time and all these different events, the word of truth going forth, it's being delivered with compassion because people need to hear truth so they can take it with them, they can take it on board. You know, as you continue in the words, you are my disciples indeed. You know, you're not being hearers only, but doers of the word. Jesus was hearing what the Father was saying, but he's from John 5, but he was a doer of the word as well, and that's what we're doing too. So compassion will teach as well. Compassion will teach. That's part of compassion, is bringing truth, because you're bringing the truth, you're bringing liberty to others through the word of God. So we must remember that. That's critically important, that one. So Mark 9 verse 22, again, we have another scenario. I'm going to be coming into land here soon. 9:22, this is about the young boy. And the father, he came, and the devils and the young boy was throwing him into fires and stuff, and the father was at his wit's end, because sometimes in family, when one family member is affected, it can have a big impact on everybody else. And it says here in verse 22, Mark 8, 22, and oftentimes it had cast him, the boy, into the fire and into the waters to destroy him, but if you canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. So the father was eliciting compassion from Jesus, and Jesus said unto him, if you can't believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And straightway the father of the Lord cried out, child, and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thy mine unbelief. And Jesus put it out of him. You know, he was moved by compassion. You know, he was restoring the family there. You know, that the child was freed from torment, the father, and probably wherever the mother was as well. You know, they were freed back to right relationship, you know, from being concerned about their sons. And, you know, and the impact it may have had on his brothers and sisters or anybody else, you know, and constantly on the alert. Has he been thrown into a fire? Has he been thrown in here? You know, because it impacts, we all know, because we all come from families. We come from summer, so we're all, I don't think anybody's just appeared here. So we all have family of some description, but everything can have an impact. So Jesus is in about, you know, restoring relationships. There's compassion. The direct ministry was the deliverance, but really there's compassion in the restoration and making the family unit whole as well through that aspect of the ministry. And then to come on to my last one here as well, if we turn to Luke chapter 7, verse 13. Luke 7, verse 13. I'll start at verse 12. Now, when he came near to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. So here we have a poor woman. She's lost her husband, and now her only son as well. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier or the coffin, and there that carried him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he, Jesus, delivered him to his mother, and there came a fear in them, and they all glorified God. So Jesus came along, you know, in that culture as well. You know, if if the husband was dead, that could mean bad news for the wife, because there'd be no provision unless there was sons involved who had a trade or some sort of job of work. So not only was this woman mourning for the loss of, you know, her husband previously, but now her only child, which must have been devastating for her, but also the fact she could also become, you know, she could be in need herself soon if there's no one there to pay bills for her, no one there to look after. We don't know her financial situation fully, but in the culture at that time, it was not good if there was no one to look after the household, because it was the men who did it predominantly in that culture at that time. So this was not a good situation for this woman, not bad enough dealing with the travesty of this thing happening and the possibility of everything else that followed. But along comes Jesus, again, compassion, you know, willing to act, you know, willing to bring healing, using the word in a general sense, you know, restoration, raised the guy from the dead, restored the mother. And the result of this was that they give glory to God. You know, the important thing is all these things give glory to the Father, because we remind ourselves that Jesus said in John 5, you know, I'm only doing what the Father shows me to do. You know, I'm using his words. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, you know, because mentioned in Hebrews, talks about that in Colossians, Jesus is the image or the character, the essence of the Father. And we remind ourselves then at the beginning, Jesus, you know, from John 3:16, that the Father so loved the world that he gave Jesus. You know, he was moved with compassion. There was only one way to solve this problem, and that was to give his best. So Jesus came willingly. We know that from Hebrews chapter 10, because if you read it, it's a quote from Psalm 40. And it's Jesus talking to the Father, saying, a body you have prepared for me. So they knew 1,200 years before the time of the cross that Jesus was going, because it was a body prepared for him. So Jesus came willingly. He knew, and the other scriptures tell us, you know, from the foundation of the word, the Lamb of God, Ephesians and Revelations. So the cross wasn't an accident. The Lord knew the price that needed to be paid, and he had compassion on us, and he gave Jesus so that we could be forgiven. So as we remember, you know, that scripture, Ephesians 4 verse 32, as Christ has forgiven us, you know, let us forgive others. You know, if we remembered what we were redeemed from in this life, never mind the next life, that's even horrific enough to think about, but what we've been redeemed from in this life, the restoration we've experienced, even that's worthy of glory, you know. But never mind the fact we escape hell and we enter into the kingdom or into eternity with the Father and with Christ and the Holy Spirit and all the believers as well. But it's moved by compassion. Everything's fueled by compassion, and it's acting out by compassion. So again, that compassion, it's an awareness of seeing something that needs to be helped or mended, and like a deep willingness to do something about it that involves action. You know, it says in James, you know, faith without works is dead. So really, compassion kind of intertwines all those things. It's the agape love of God shed abroad in our heart. You know, it's the word. Faith comes by hearing the word, you know, giving instruction through the word, you know, about these things that we could do. It's really having the heart of the Father through the Son, and then putting feet to our prayers, as somebody said. And if you see a circumstance, you're drawn to it, you know, it's probably compassion. And then the compassion of that is that when you start to operate in compassion and minister to people, it changes their lives, it changes their families' lives, it can go on and change nations as well. And it's because we have the love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Father. And it's good to remember these things sometimes. It's good to remember, you know what, that's the motivation. We love God because he first loved us. And when you think about it, you know, and Jesus said, you know, many, many things, because I'm going and going and going. I love talking about Jesus. You know, a lot of teaching, Ruth would tell you in the college, anytime I taught, it's always various aspects of Jesus' ministry. You know, there is great things in there about, you know, truths about different, you know, our position in Christ and, you know, healing and, you know, the New Testament versus, you know, law versus grace. All these wonderful things, which are things that we need to know about, you know, to cement who we are and, you know, rightly divide the word of truth and grow in grace. But sometimes we just need to sit back and just consider him. You know, T.L. Osborne's one of my favorites. I like to listen to his stuff on YouTube. And a lot of time, a lot of his teachings all revolved around the person of Christ, the ministry of Christ, the works of Christ, you know, but it's all Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Now, I haven't watched any of his stuff in a while, so I go through phases of listening to different people, and then I come back to them. You know, I kind of, I don't think I have a set pattern, but the Lord has a pattern for me. But I like to bring it back to Jesus. So be of good cheer, folks. We have compassion in our heart. We can be motivated by compassion. Compassion manifests itself in many forms. It's not always as spectacular. You know, it can be, you know, doing the food bank. It can be setting the tables. It can be, you know, different things minister to different people. And, you know, you could give somebody something. And I had a guy came to the college one time, and he was high up in the ministry, and he was our guest speaker. And we did him a gift basket. And he was in tears to me in the office, which was kind of took me by surprise, because, you know, he was, you know, in charge. You know, I'm trying to be vague, so don't give away his identity, you know, but he was more senior to me as such. But he was so touched by the fact that, actually it was my wife who did it, I get the credit for it, I suppose, but that somebody went out of the way to bring the gift basket to where they're standing, to go and kind of guess what they would like and this type of stuff. You know, it was kindness. Now, it's not exactly what we're talking about, but you know what I mean? But even that act of kindness, motivated by the Spirit of God, which is where the compassion comes from, really ministered to that individual, because we all need encouragement. But we, at the same time, we also have that ministry of encouragement to others. We have that compassion, and just let it flow out of you like streams of living water, and others will drink from your well or eat from your tree, whatever expression you use around here, and the Lord will get the glory. Is that okay then? Okay. Thank you, Johnny. I'll invite you back up, brother. Thank you.